Well, first of all, say good morning. Good morning. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly thankful for each and every one that's come out to be with us. And for our visitors this morning, we're glad that you came. We're thankful that God has kept each and every one of us safe so that we might come back and be in this place together and try our very best to lift up the name of Jesus. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us this morning. I'm thankful for the good songs and that was sung, and the ones that's come up to help Sister Rachel with the singing. The singing sounded really good to me this morning. And I think in the last song that we sung, When We All Get to Heaven, I think it was in the second or third verse there where it starts, it says, while we walk the pilgrim pathway. And I know I've said this plenty of times, but if we've been saved by the grace of God, those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, that's what we are. We are pilgrims in this land. We read in Hebrews in the 11th chapter there, about how it was talking about Abraham and the people there, how they were wandering from place to place into this land that God said that he would show them. And it said that they just considered themselves pilgrims and travelers in this land. And folks, ain't you glad this morning that this isn't our final destination? We're just pilgrims walking about this land. The house that we've got there on Poplar Drive there here in Columbus, guess what? That's just a little tent that we just pitched up, that we're just not even living in. We're just spending a couple nights in, you know. And it's just a little tent that was put up for us. But let me tell you this, that's not my home. That's just a little stay place for me. My home is where God is. My home is in heaven, and I'm looking forward to that day when God says, come on home. One of these days, I'll be going there, and that is something I am looking forward to the most. Anyways, we don't want to linger our preliminary comments, but we're just so thankful for what we've already felt this morning, and we're so thankful for the good Sunday school that we had and for Brother Scott leading in the discussion. We've been having really good discussions in our Sunday school. And if you've not been attending our Sunday school, you're really missing out on something. You really are. And so, I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. We're going to go further and feel the need to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. But I wonder, before we do, if anybody has anything upon their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done this morning. A word of praise or anything this morning. Amen. Do want to ask this morning before we go any further in the Lord's service, if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts that they feel like the Lord is compelling them to do this morning. If not, then we'll go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts. I ask for your prayers. That the Lord would give us guidance in the things that need to be said and done. I've been trying to pray all week, and the Lord's been, I know my preaching brethren know how this is. Sometimes the Lord will give you a thought a week before you have to preach and give you all week to study, and then sometimes throughout the week he'll just give you verses and individual thoughts all together just cause you to dig a little bit. And that's been the case for me this week. So I don't fully know where I'm going to go, but I do know that it's in God's hands. For God knows the need of the people, and God knows what needs to be said. So we'll just ask that you would just please pray for us this morning. Earlier in the week, I was studying over Book of Philippians in the 4th chapter there. And I was looking into the verse 13, I was looking into that verse a little bit, and I know that besides John 3:16, that's probably another verse in the Bible that's really well quoted from a lot of individuals, and especially those who might not have been around church as much. That's okay. It's one of those really well quoted verses of Scripture. But I was looking at this, and I was looking about Paul writing this letter here to the church at Philippi, and I was looking at this specific chapter, and I was thinking there, you know, Paul, according to my knowledge, Paul here, he was in prison, and I was starting to think there about, I think it was in the 10th verse, I guess, or maybe the ones before. I don't have it marked down, so I don't know. But I know that Paul, he was writing to the church, how he said that, I've learned in whatsoever state that I am in, I've learned to be content. He said, for when I've learned to be content with being brought low, I've learned to be content with being poor, I've just learned to be content. And if you look at Paul's ministry, his ministry and his travelings was filled with a bunch of heartaches and troubles and turmoils. He was shipwrecked at sea. We read that Paul, he was shipwrecked, and Paul was beaten. He was thrown into jail many times, and he was persecuted for the work of the Lord. But in verse 13 there, when Paul was talking about the hardships and the things that he has went through, in verse 13, it leads up to verse 13 where he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I'm thankful this morning that I've got the same confidence that Paul did, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, Paul here, and I once again just pray for us that we can have guidance. But you know, Paul here, we can read over it the two letters that he wrote to the young preacher Timothy. And he was writing there to the young preacher about the things that he has went through. And he was writing to the young preacher about how there was people that was with him in the ministry, and the people turned their backs on him and went away, whether it be for filthy lucre or whether it be for the enjoyments of the ungodliness of the world. Some of them have turned their backs on him. We read of one specifically named Demas, how he had turned his back on Paul. But you know, we read in the second letter to Timothy, I believe it was the 4th chapter there, he said, all men left me, but the Lord stood with me. I'm thankful this morning, folks, that when all men turn their backs on me, that God is still right there. I'm thankful. Oh, Paul wrote in another place, I believe it was 2 Corinthians. Paul wrote, he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, and I was beginning to think about that. Oh, when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, I think this, you know, we read in Proverbs about how there's deadly sins, you know, that people say, and there's sins that God hates, you know, and one of those that we read about is pride. You see, I don't think you can serve God with a heart full of pride. You see, I don't think if you're lost and separated from God, I don't think you can come to God with a heart full of pride. You see, I believe all that has to be broken down before an Almighty God. We read in Psalms 51 about how there
are sacrifices, that those are sacrifices of God, and that being of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you see, that talks about that broken heart, you know. We talk about heartfelt salvation a lot among us as missionary Baptists. We preach about that. And folks, let me tell you, I do believe that God knows the hearts of every individual in this earth. Well, we read about how Samuel was looking for another king one day, and how he went to Bethlehem, Judah, and found him a little shepherd boy named David. And we find there how God told Samuel, he said, don't judge this man by his statutes, or don't judge this man by the way he looks, but because I see things differently, paraphrasing. He said, for man looks on the outward appearance, but I look on what's in the heart. You see, oh, I am thankful that God deals with the heart, you know. He deals with the inward workings of man. He deals with the dwelling place of the soul, you see. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. You see, I'm thankful that when it comes to being saved by the grace of God, that you don't have to come to a preacher. You don't have to come with money. You don't have to come with all these wonderful deeds and works. But I'm thankful that when it comes to salvation, that it's done in between the individual himself and God. And that is a biblical standard that we have kept throughout time. That has been a biblical standard that has been passed down. That's what the Bible says, from generation to generation. And you know, that is a biblical standard that still needs to be stood upon today. You see, I've known several people. I don't know where I'm going. That's okay. Just pray for us. But you see, I've known several people, you see. You know, they try to rely upon works. They try to rely on works to get them into heaven. They try to rely on money and on wealth. But folks, let me tell you, if God ain't saved your soul, if you've not been saved by the grace of God, folks, what is it that song says where it says, I want us to be together in heaven? What does it say? It says, if you've not been saved, then it all ends at that grave. That's where your whole life will end. But folks, for those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, when we die, oh, then we'll just start living. You see, when we die, that's the beginning of life. And I'm thankful for that. That's something that I can shout and rejoice in. That I have life after this life is over. You see, what we read in John 15. I know we preached on this a couple weeks ago, but my heart's going back to that. John chapter 15, when Jesus was talking to the disciples. And he was telling them about, I've not called you servants. Oh, but I've called you friends. He said, for a servant doesn't know whatever his master goes and what he does. Folks, you've been saved by the grace of God. That brought us into a state of friendship with God. You've been saved by the grace of God, folks. Ain't you thankful that we not only can call ourselves the servants of God, but we can call ourselves the friends of God. We can not only call ourselves the servants of God, but we can call ourselves the heirs of God. We not only have to call ourselves the servants of God, but we have something down deep in our soul that we can witness to the whole world about. See, Jesus was telling his disciples, book of Matthew, now how ye are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Folks, ain't you grateful that when trouble and turmoil comes your way, you still have that friend right beside you? Ain't you thankful? You see, being saved by the grace of God, you know, I believe that we just stop at, you know, being saved by the grace of God means that you go to heaven. I think that we just stop there. But folks, being saved by the grace of God means that you just gained yourself a friend who sticks closer than a brother ever will. See, folks, ain't you glad that when life comes and beats us down, oh, that God still sends His sweet Spirit to sit with sinful men? Ain't you glad that when we're beaten down with the pains, the troubles, and heartaches of this life, that we're still able to sit down and commune and talk with God, and He's right there? Oh, though all men forsake me, the Lord stood with me. I'm thankful this morning, folks, that God still stands right next to His people. You see, there was a thought that I had got. I don't know if I'll get to this, but there was a thought that I got when I was praying before we got ready for church this morning. There was a thought that I had gotten about useful utensils, you know. I don't know if we might touch on that. Maybe we might. But I know I was thinking about useful utensils, you know. And we read in 2 Timothy there, I believe it was the third or the second chapter, you know, but Paul was talking to Timothy about how there's in a house that there's many different vessels. There's vessels unto honor, and that there's vessels unto righteousness. And he talks about how there's vessels and some vessels that are to dishonor, you see. And you look up that word vessel, you know, you'll find in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means utensil, you know. If you look up, you know, there in a house, see, we're in God's house, you know. You see, there's many different utensils here. Now, some of us, now if you think about when guests come over, you know, I know me and my wife, when people come over to the house, we want to bring out the finest china. We want to bring out, you know, usually we'll eat on paper plates and paper forks and plastic forks, you know. But when guests come over, we'll get out the finest china and we'll make sure that they're squeaky clean, so clean that you can see your reflection there. You know, we'll do away with the plastic cups and we'll get out all these actual drinking glasses there for our sweet tea, you know. And let me tell you what, folks, sometimes, you know, we put our best foot forward for our guests. You know, I believe it's time that we put our best foot forward for God. You see, now Paul was writing to Timothy about these utensils, about these vessels. You see, now we read in Jeremiah 18 about how God one day took him down to a potter's house. And he found there, oh, this potter working with his clay, you know. And it said that he was trying to make a vessel. He was trying to make some sort of utensil, you know. And you see what the potter does. I've never took potter classes, but I know of people who have. And you know, I know there with the potter, you know, with that clay, they get on the mill there. And if they mess one thing up, you know what they have to do? They got to stuff that thing back down, and they got to redo it all over again. Folks, sometimes it seems like we messed up, you know. I know we desire to have a closer walk with God, and honey, that's good. You need to pray for a closer walk with God. Not only do you need to pray, do we need to pray for a closer walk with God, but we need to try our very best to make it happen, you know. And sometimes, time Satan will come like he did Job there and give us all these temptations there of the world, you know. And it seems like we'll mess up from time to time. Well, that's okay. I'm glad the potter doesn't just stay with the mess up. Sometimes I have to go back to the altar and seek after God so he can start working on me again. Oh, just like that potter. He doesn't just give up when he messes up. He'll smush it all back down and try his very best to build it all back up again. That way he can get himself a good utensil for him to use. You see, folks, now we read in Paul, while he was writing to the church at Corinth, thank you, Lord. We read there, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, you know, we find there that he said, for the body has many parts. You know, folks, those of us who are members here of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, tonight's our election night. And I'm sure we're all looking forward to that. I'm sure we're all looking forward to a long business meeting. Well, let me tell you this, folks, it takes a lot of parts of Friendship Church for her to steer herself in the right direction. You see, we can't all be the arm of the church. Some of us have to take responsibility at being the foot. Some of us have to take responsibility at being the leg. Some of us have to take responsibility with the pinky toe, the small toe you got on your foot. Because you see, without that pinky toe, we couldn't properly balance ourselves. There's a lot of parts that go into the church body that causes herself to move. Folks, when it comes to utensils, you might think to yourself it's just a little dull, rusty butter knife. Oh, but I'm thankful that even though I might be a dull, rusty butter knife, if I go to the potter, and put myself in his hands and cause him to work on me, folks, I can be a sharp butter knife. You know, I can be one that cuts through butter like there's no tomorrow, you know. And folks, let me tell you this, it can't just stop right there. You know, we need on a day-to-day basis to go back to God and let him work on us and use us for his honor and glory and how he pleases. We need to be useful utensils. We don't need to just be utensils that sit in the drawer wondering, when is the master going to use me? We don't need to be utensils that's just up there, that's dull, that's rusty, going, well, when is he going to pick me out? Folks, I like Isaiah. He had a good attitude about himself. Do you know that? We read there that Isaiah, he was upon the mountain of the Lord, and the Bible says that the glory of the Lord, the train of the Lord, filled the temple there, and the Lord said, who shall I send to go tell this people? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Folks, let me tell you, those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, folks, we need to have a cheerful attitude in our hearts about wanting God to use us. See, I know we was talking in Sunday school about self-denial. And folks, when it comes to serving God, there is a lot of self-denial that comes through that. That seems to me to be the hardest part, the self-denial. You see, but let me tell you. When I finally come to a point where I get myself out of the way and say, God, I don't care what people think. Oh, but God, if this is what you want done, then please use me. Send me. Folks, that's just the start of trying to be a useful utensil for God. You see, I know I'm going everywhere. That's okay. We're almost done. But you know, I was thinking not too long ago, I believe it's the 20th or 21st chapter of John. See, Jesus, he just lifted himself up from the dead, you know, rolled that stone away, but he didn't go to his disciples just yet. And Peter one day took his brothers, and he says, I go a-fishing. And so, you know, him and his brethren, they went on a boat, went to the sea, and they wanted to go a-fishing. And you know what? They fished all throughout the day, I suppose, if I remember correctly, and they came back with nothing. Oh, but you see, Jesus was right there by the seashore. He walked right there. And you know what he did? He just touched the waters. Oh, and in their net came a big amount of fish. They even overflowed the boats. You see, folks, when you try to go about your way, and you go about in this world, and you try to do things on your own, you're going to accomplish absolutely nothing. You try to do anything that you can without the Lord, you're going to accomplish absolutely nothing. You can go fishing on the sea, and if you don't have the Lord, you're going to accomplish absolutely nothing. You see, it is good for us as God's people to move when God directs our hearts and tell us to move with His Spirit. And when He tells us to stay, we need to stay put. Just like David there, about this tree. I can't remember where it's at in the Old Testament, but I do know that David there, he saw the army there, and the Lord told him, he said, just sit underneath this mulberry tree. Oh, whenever you hear the sound of the bushes, then you can go and fight. Folks, sometimes we try to get ourselves a little ahead of God. You know that. I know I do. We get ourselves a little ahead of God. Say, God, I want this done right here, right now. Oh, but sometimes maybe He's just wanting us to sit underneath that tree, waiting for the sound of the bushes to touch together. I'm going to say this, and I'll be done. But you know, we read in John, when Jesus went to Peter after He had resurrected, He asked Peter some questions. He said, Peter, lovest thou Me? The very first question was, lovest thou Me more than these? I was thinking about Jesus and that question. Lovest thou Me more than these? And I was beginning to ask within my heart, well, Lord, more than what? You see, we read in the book of Revelation about how Jesus had went to one of the churches there in Asia, and He said, I only have one fault with you, and that is you left your first love. Who should our first love be? God Himself. He said, you left your first love. See, sometimes when we depart and wander astray from God, you know what happens? We go in the world, and sometimes we begin to love things more than we love God. He said, lovest thou Me more than these? See, I love Peter. I always love reading about Peter. The reason why is because I think I can relate to Peter more than I can any of the other disciples there. See, Peter was loudmouth. Peter was one who was very vocal. We even read about when Jesus was sitting at the dinner table there with His disciples. How all the disciples, He said to His disciples that one of you is going to deny Me. And Peter was the first one to speak up, and he said, oh Lord, I know it can't be Me. You know, and what we find, Jesus went and told Peter, He said, well, thou surely said, I love you, but before the night ends, you're going to deny Me three times. And that's what had happened. You see, and I believe Peter repented of that, of what he had done. But he said, lovest thou Me more than these? I really do think that Peter, as a fisherman that he was, he probably enjoyed He probably loved fishing. Oh, probably loved doing that job that he had. See, sometimes we let money come before God. Sometimes we let our own jobs come before God. Peter, even when Jesus was resurrected, and he didn't hear nothing. He just said, I go with this. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than you do fishing? Peter, do you love me more than you do your family? Peter, do you love me? Lovest thou me more than these? Well, then go feed my lambs. Folks, I don't know where your heart is this morning. You could be lost and separated from God. I beg you to seek after Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He might be near. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, oh, and you've wandered astray, seek after God. See, we bid the lost to seek after God, but folks, us saved people need to seek after God too. Seek after God. You might think that I'm just that rusty butter knife. Go back to the potter. Let him work on you. See, we ask the psalmist one time, he asked the question. He said, wilt thou not revive us again? Folks, I think we need to be revived. Being reawakened. Reawakened of our duty, our job, our obligation that God has bestowed upon His people. And what is that? That was the commission to go out unto all the world, teaching whatsoever things that I have commanded you, baptizing and making disciples. It'd be a reawakened to our first love. I know what to do. You see, and when Jesus called Peter to follow Him, He didn't just stop with, follow me. But He went on and said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Us being the clay and God being the potter, I like to think God is trying to mold us and trying to make us into something. But church, don't resist what the potter is trying to do. Sometimes we can be a little resistant toward God. But I beg that not be the case today. So church, let us search our hearts as the psalmist did. Seek after God. And ask, Lord, what is it that I should do? I am the potter, and you are, I am the clay, excuse me, and you are the potter. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Let us all stand and thank this morning and ponder in our hearts.